Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NTRA Road to the Triple Crown conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star one to register for questions. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Ms. Alicia Hughes. Please go ahead, Ms. Hughes.
Thank you so much. And again, I would like to say thank you to Momentum Conferencing for stepping in here on very short notice today when our previously scheduled conference center had a system outage and was unable to host. So thank you guys for all of your work on short notice. And thank you to everyone also for your patience in joining us for this week's NTRA Road to the Triple Crown. Obviously, while everything remains pretty uncertain in the world right now due to the coronavirus pandemic, Oaklawn Park, is still marching forward and has put together an exceptional slate of racing this weekend, headlined by the Grade 3 Fantasy Stakes on Friday and the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby on Saturday. Due to the overwhelming interest in entries, the Arkansas Derby has been split into two divisions and will offer 100 qualifying points to the winner of each division towards the Kentucky Derby, which is now currently scheduled for September 5th. Among those set to contest the Arkansas Derby is the highly regarded Charlatan, who heads up the first division of the race, reigning juvenile champion Storm the Court, and Louisiana Derby winner Wells Bayou, the latter of whom will both face off in the second division. Peter Yurton, trainer of Storm the Court and fellow Arkansas Derby entrant Shooter Shoot, will join us today, as well as racing manager and bloodstock agent Liz Crow, who helped pick out and purchase Wells Bayou as a two-year-old. First up, however, we are going to be joined by Jack Wolf of Starlight Racing, one of the co-owners of Charlatan. Starlight Racing is, of course, well accustomed to racing's pinnacle, having owned a piece of 2018 Triple Crown winner Justify, and they are once again well positioned this year with not only Charlatan, but his unbeaten stable bait Authentic. Jack, thank you so much for joining us on the call today.
Well, thanks for having me. I look forward to it.
Absolutely. Like I said, always a pleasure to have you on and get some wisdom. So I know that, horsemen and owners, they never like to get too far ahead of things, but there are definitely some similarities that can be drawn already between the path that Charlatan is on and Justify's early days, obviously both on race at two, both with eye-catching efforts in their first two starts. What has Bob Baffert been telling you about this, Cole, and his progression and the kind of upside that he thinks there is there to be unleashed?
Well, he's liked him all along. Drayden has been getting on both horses in the morning, and he tends to think Authentic is a better horse. But until Charlatan had his two-turn race last time out, I think Bob may have had some concerns on the distance limitations. But the way he galloped out and won the race, it I think calmed his nerves a little bit.
I was going to say, his first win was so dazzling, and then, like you said, stretching out to a mile the next time out. How much of a concern was there about maybe a sort of a potential bounce in? What did you ultimately learn about him that made just for him to not only win, but win the way he did that second time out?
As you said, he didn't bounce. His first race, he ran a 4 on the sheets and then came back, I guess, about a month later and ran a 3, so... a horse like that that's that young that can do that, I guess that's why he's getting all the press that he's getting. But, the first race where he broke his maiden, he ran against Shooter Shoot, Peter's horse there. And, that horse looks like a very game horse off of his last win over there at Oaklawn. So I think it'd be interesting to see how that all works out. But, he seems to be doing well. He breezed yesterday. I want to say he's on a flight as we speak, and we're excited.
Sounds good. Like I said, I know we've got a lot of media on the call today. So with that, I will step away and check in and see if there's any media that has any questions for you.
Okay.
As As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. We have a question from the line of John Clay with Lexington Herald Leader. Your line is open.
Jack, thanks for being on the call. Last week, Governor Beshear said that he had talked to Churchill Downs, which had presented him with some detailed proposals, and they were still working on, you know, when it would be safe to return back to racing. What are your feelings on that subject? Do you think that Kentucky needs to get back to live racing, even if it means without fans?
I do, and I think Santa Anita does too. You know, just not to be trite or repetitive, but we've got all the backside workers there, at least in Santa Anita and in Oaklawn. You know, there weren't any occurrences, and these horses have got to keep training and hopefully have races. So, of course, I'm biased and have self-interest involved, but I think for the good of the industry, and I think with the protocols, from what I heard Churchill propose, you know, as is Santa Anita, very scientific and hopefully very safe. So, yeah, I hope we can.
Your next question comes from the line of Dick Downey with the Downey Profile. Your line is open.
Jack, have you heard anything about when Churchill might be able to open his backside?
If I had, I would tell you, but I really haven't heard anything. I talked to Mike Ziegler, last week, and basically he said that at the mercy of the, medical people and I guess the governor. So I haven't heard. Have you heard anything, Dick? you get the information first.
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Okay. You know, it's so crazy. Yeah, it's so crazy. Nobody really knows where we stand with all this, but hopefully it'll get worked out.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Your next question comes from a line of Dan Wilkin with USA Today. Your line is open.
Yeah. Hi, Jack. I was just curious, how you felt about the setup with the Arkansas Derby and two divisions. I guess it sort of indicates that, you know, a lot of people with promising three-year-olds want a place to run their horse right now with the Derby still so far off.
Yeah, I think hats off to the Sell family at Oaklawn and they don't even have their casino running, and for them to do what they've done is been a godsend, and thank goodness Churchill Downs and Oaklawn sat down and came up with a way to split the race, $500,000 in each race, obviously still a grade one, and the total points in both things. So I think it's like I say, but the sellers have always been on the lead as far as doing the right thing for the horse, and I'm just tickled to death that there was 22 horses, or we probably wouldn't have drawn in with Charlton. So hats off to the sellers.
There are no further questions in queue at this time.
Jack, before I let you go here, just wanted to ask you a couple more things real quick. With Charlton, I know it was a $700,000 yearling purchase for you all in partnership with SF Bloodstock. What was it about him as a baby that put him on your all short list?
Well, we have a very good selection team. Frankie Brothers, has worked with Starlight for a number of years. Donato Lani is on the team. Henry Fields on the team. Tom, even though he claims not to, he's got a great eye also. And then the horses that we're sending to Bob gives the final approval to that horse. And, we joined up in the partnership a couple of years ago, and it seems like it's the way of the future, unless we go into a deep recession after all this this deal that we're going through now. But it's been a good team effort, and I want to say the first year in the first group, we bought like 24 head, and I was looking at it this morning, and half of them have broken their maidens, and you know, we've got a number of stakes winners, so it's good to join in with the good people and have the results that we've had so far.
Absolutely, and of course, you know, we have another partnership with Authentic. Just talk very quick about just how he's doing. You know, he's obviously been very impressive in his starts. How has he been doing since the San Felipe win?
Well, Bob says he's doing fine. He's got enough Derby points, I would guess, if he didn't do anything else. But he, you know, once Bob wants to get him back in racing shape, I don't think it'd take much more than 3 or 4 weeks, and hopefully something opens up out in California and we see racing there. I guess we'll find out in the near term whether that happens, but to answer your question, he's just letting him down a bit at this point.
Sounds good. Like I said, Jack, as always, I appreciate you coming on our call, you know, today. And as I told you, I said, tell Bob he owes you another Triple Crown winner since you pitch hit for him this afternoon.
I'll hold his feet to the fire on that one, Alicia. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time as always, Jack.
All right. Bye-bye.
And next up, we are going to go to trainer Peter Yurton. Peter, who has a two-pronged entry for the Arkansas Derby with Shooter Shoot in the first division, and he has champion Storm the Court in the second division of the race. Peter, thank you so much for joining our call today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I must tell you, there has been a change of plans on Shooter. He did come up with a fever this morning, and I have notified all the owners, so I don't feel like I'm, you know, speaking out of turn here. But he didn't finish up his feed. Temperature was high, and unfortunately he caught a virus, and he's doing well. He'll be fine. And of course he will be scratched.
That's unfortunate timing, definitely, because he certainly looked like a horse with a lot of good form in his last two starts, especially coming off a win over the Oakland Surface.
Yeah, it's very disappointing.
So, well, like I said, you have another good one in there, obviously, with the reigning champion with Storm the Court. You know, it might be a little weird to say that the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner and reigning champion has been a little bit under the radar this year, but that's kind of how things have shaken out for him thus far. How do you kind of assess his first two starts this year?
Well, I mean, he had a little bit of freshening. I don't think we had him that keyed up and for the San Vicente. He ran okay. He was probably a little bit on the dull side, but I thought he bounced back decently in the San Felipe and didn't have the best of trips. But, you know, the quality of horses always tends to change a little bit from the two-year-olds to the three-year-olds, and it's a juvenile winner. There's not always the best out there, but he definitely has a reason to get better because he is a late foal, May foal. And we're happy with the way he's going right now.
Yeah, and, you know, have you seen anything just in his morning works and his training that is giving you that kind of confidence that he is maybe ready to take a step forward again this week? Are you seeing anything kind of similar to maybe the way he was coming up to his Breeders' Cup race?
Well, I'm happy with his weight now. I think I thought going into the San Vicente, his weight was good. I think going into San Felipe, he may have dropped a few pounds. He was about the same weight as he did, maybe even a little bit lighter than he was as the juvenile winner. So now he's close to all over 1,100 pounds, and that's about 35 pounds of weight put back on. And he hasn't missed a day of training, so it's not because of lack of exercise. It's just he seems like he's in a good place right now. So hopefully we can see him jump into where we all want him to be. And we're kind of excited. He got on a plane this morning and should be landing shortly, if not already.
Sounds good. Like I said, Peter, thank you again. And with that, I'm going to throw it back to the media, to the operator, to check in with the media to see if they have any questions for you today.
Okay.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Michael Gibbs with WGS Radio. Your line is open.
Hey, Peter, I got a two-part question for you. Number one, are you hearing anything about when they're going to open Santa Anita, if sooner or later? Secondly, your thoughts on moving the Kentucky Derby. Most of the prep races were run. I think they moved the Arkansas Derby because the Kentucky Derby had been moved, and the possibility that you still might not have fans anyway, even though they're moving the Derby to September. So just want to get your thoughts on those two issues.
Well, there is a meeting going on right as we speak right now in L.A. County. L.A. Health Department is meeting with and talking about the proposal that we have. So we could be finding something out today. So we're all crossing our fingers. We put up a lot of great protocols, and there's no reason why, in our eyes, that we can't follow along that closely and have safe racing and keep everybody healthy. So as far as the Derby's being changed, it's unfortunate that the fans won't be able to be there, more than likely, but September is going to work. I think they'll probably end up with a couple more spots for people to get points. Santa Anita hopefully will have their Derby, and then maybe, from what I understand, Del Mar may put something up, and probably on the East Coast too. So there are going to be plenty of opportunities for some horses that we may never even heard of show themselves up. So quite exciting still, and we're all looking forward to it.
Your next question comes from a line of John Clay with Lexington Herald Leader. Your line is open.
Peter, thanks for doing this. With fewer races going on now, how much of a challenge is it to keep the horses in your stable fit and be able to run in what few races that are going on right now?
Well, that is a challenge. I mean, you just don't want to keep training. It's like being at a bus stop and waiting for it to show up. So you're kind of having to guess about when you think we're going to run. We're all counting on being able to run around the 15th. At least we're hoping so, of May. And so we're starting to, at least for me, gear them back up a little bit again, but not get too crazy about it. So it's not easy. If you had a point date, it makes things a lot easier. And you just hate to have horses get injured by overdoing it. So we've been given and taken a lot in my barn.
Again, that is star one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. Your next question comes from the line of Dan Wilkham with USA Today. Your line is open.
Peter, yeah, I was just curious if sending your horse to Arkansas would have been an option or would have been the preferred plan for you, if not for, you know, maybe a lack of options right now. And also just kind of your general thoughts on having the two divisions set up.
Well, I mean, as far as Storm de Course concerned, we may have stayed here for the Santa Anita Derby probably. Our options were limited. It was just coming up to his third race off of a layoff, and so we thought the timing was right for him to take the trip. And as far as the race being split, I think that was really a great thing to see. It's going to be an awesome card on Saturday. Racing is going to be exciting to see in Oakland. 14 full races with 13 horses in each one. It's just going to be a great day. And I'm unfortunate Shooter Shoe won't be able to make the race, but it's still going to be a great card.
There are no further questions in queue at this time.
Peter, before I let you go, I just wanted to follow up on something you mentioned real quick. You know, you talked about obviously with the later date for the Derby this year, we could see some, you know, obviously some horses emerging later on who maybe we haven't seen yet. for a horse like Storm de Court, who, as you mentioned, is a later foal, is a May foal, how much, if at all, do you think having that later Derby will maybe benefit a horse like him in terms of his ability to just kind of to mature since he is a late foal?
Well, I think he's probably grown as much as he's going to grow. I mean, he may get a little bit taller, but the good part about it is he might start to fill out a little better and be able to handle the travel. It's always difficult. Sometimes he's a lighter made horse. He's kind of built like a wide receiver, tall and lean, but it's gonna affect a lot because guys are able to kind of, you know, take a step back, see where they're going to go. At least the ones that have points and the ones that don't will be able to jump into some situations that they normally wouldn't have had an opportunity to do because of either possible shins, possible this or that. It's going to be something different, but we're all going to enjoy it the same. Storm Record, we'll just have to see after this race here what we plan on doing, but we don't need to force anything with any of them, because I believe there are plenty of opportunities still coming that we don't know about.
Absolutely. I said, well, Peter, again, like I said, I'm sorry to hear the news about Shooter Shoot. But like I said, you obviously have a very talented contender there with the reigning champion. Thank you again for coming on and, you know, taking the time out today with everything going on. And continued best of luck for everything this weekend.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And last but not least, we're going to go to racing manager and bloodstock agent extraordinaire, Liz Crow. It is rare that a big weekend will go by without Crow's fingerprints on it, as she has been responsible for picking out the likes of champion Monomoy Girl and grade one winners such as Leo Frick. Crow's sharp eye also allowed her to purchase champion British Idiom, winner of last year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies and the standout in Friday's Fantasy Stakes. And she is also part of the team behind Wells Bayou and Oakland Handicap entrant Warrior's Charge. Liz, thank you for being on our call today.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for the nice introduction. I appreciate that.
I said, your work speaks for itself. So not much of an introduction needed there. But as I said, as usual, you know, you and your clients are well represented on these big weekends of racing. Start first and foremost, I guess, with British Idiom, and talk a little bit just about how she's doing and how you think she has moved forward off her seasonal debut, which, you know, unfortunately for her, resulted in her first loss.
Yeah, she's doing really, really good. Obviously, everything going on with the coronavirus, obviously this wasn't our plan to run in the fantasy. We were hoping to run in the Ashland, which would have been the first weekend of April. So she's been ready to go for over a month now. And as you know, with horse racing, some of these horses can get over the top, overtrained. You worry about them not peaking at the right time. It seems like she's doing really, really well, and that doesn't seem to be a concern with her. So I think we're excited to see what she could do second off a layoff. Brad didn't really have her fully cranked for the Rachel, so that loss wasn't super surprising, with Finite being a little more had a little more fitness and had been running, so I expect her to see her a little tighter for this race.
And I said, with Wells Bayou, you know, he obviously made a big statement with his win in the Louisiana Derby, and he's a horse who definitely looks like he's done his best running on the front end. How do you kind of see his division of the Arkansas Derby shaping up?
I think his division looks like the Arkansas Derby, and I think the other division looks like an allowance race. I mean, I think his division is way, way tougher, and it's great for racing fans. I think everybody's going to get to see, you know, you get to see Storm the Court, obviously a two-year-old champion, King Guillermo, who won the Tampa Bay Derby, Nadal, who's obviously been really impressive in his three starts, Silver Prospector, who beat us in the Southwest, and it's a really good race from top to bottom. So it will be fun to watch, and he's doing extremely well. He really couldn't be doing any better. So we'll see what happens.
And again, like I said, you guys have, you know, as always, I said, a big team of entrants for this weekend. I know with Warrior's Charge, he's one that you guys have always thought very highly of. He gave a very admirable account of himself in last year's Preakness. what was the level of gratification like to see him prevail in the Razorback the way he did, having to really go in there and fight there?
Yeah, that was a really, really fun win. He's owned by 10 Strike Racing in Mattica. 10 Strike is a big racing partnership from Oaklawn. I mean, they're mainly based in Arkansas. So it was just fun. We had, 100 plus people in the winner's circle. Like you said, we've always thought really highly of this colt. He trains really well in the morning, and he just seems to be getting better and better. It was a shame we missed the end of last year with colic. I think he would have shown himself well as a three-year-old, but we're excited to have hopefully a big year with him this year.
Sounds good, Liz. Like I said, we have a lot of media on. So with that, I'm going to throw it back to our operator and check in with them and see if they have any questions for you today.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question at this time, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of John Clay with Lexington Herald Leader. Your line is open.
Liz, thanks for doing the call. As a bloodstock agent and a racing manager, with all the changes that are going on, I mean, Basic Tipton announced yesterday they're moving the Saratoga New York bred to Lexington for that sale, with some tracks running, some not running. What's your life like right now? What's it like for a bloodstock agent, a racing manager, to deal with all these variables and changes?
Well, I think it's very similar, I guess, to what everybody in our industry is dealing with right now, and that's just uncertainty. And it's hard when you have horses ready to run and you don't have a game plan of where to run them. I mean, I can never remember anything, that would set up like this. For instance, we have Monomoy Girl ready to run off a year and a half layoff and nowhere to run her, with not knowing when Churchill's going to open. So, I mean, I still go through the motions every day of talking to all our trainers and going out to Keeneland and seeing horses and, talking to all the different people in the sales organizations to see if they've made any changes or game plans. But I would say it's just a lot of uncertainty and everybody trying to figure out what's going to come next.
To follow up on that, do you expect racing to return to Kentucky? I know Governor Beshear said he talked to Churchill last week, and Churchill had a detailed proposal about what to do. Do you expect racing to return, even if it means without fans this summer?
Yeah, I'm just going to be honest. I'm very frustrated with the way our governor's handled the situation in Kentucky. I think we could safely have returned to racing a few weeks ago. Kentucky's been, hasn't had a high number of deaths and a high number of cases, thank God. But everyone's going up to the backside every morning to take care of these horses anyway. We'd only have to add a few additional people to make racing happen without spectators. I think it's hurting a lot of horsemen unnecessarily here. And I don't want to sound, I guess, like this isn't a big deal, but I do think that we could race safely without spectators. And I really hope to see us back up and running here soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions in queue at this time.
Liz, before we let you go, I would be remiss to have you on here and not ask you about the big girl herself with Monomoy Girl and how she's doing. I know a lot of people have missed seeing her on the track in action. Do you have an update on just how she's progressing?
She couldn't be doing any better. She's really, really training well. She's fired 3 bullets at Keeneland and ready to go. Hopefully we have a condition book at Churchill soon to figure out where she'll run. We'd like to have her return there in Kentucky. And hopefully we'll all get to see her soon.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, it goes without saying, it must be a fine line that everybody's trying to walk right now of keeping these horses fit and ready and not really having any targets for them to point to. So it's got to be a tremendous balancing act that everybody's trying to pull off right now.
Yeah, Brad Cox has done a really, really good job with that. Obviously, like Peter Erton was saying, it's, you try not to breeze him every week without a game plan. But I think he's backed off some of them and he's just taking it day by day, which is, I think, all we can do.
Well, Liz, again, like I said, thank you again so much for taking the time out during everything to join us on the call. And adjusting to some last-second changes here, like I said, can keep up the great work as always. Continue best of luck with everything for this weekend and beyond.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And everyone, that will do it for today's NTRA National Media teleconference. Again, I want to thank everybody from our conferencing center to the participants for really, you know, staying with us today and adjusting to these last second changes here with the system and everything. We're going to try to have an audio file and a transcript of this up. But again, I urge everybody to be patient. These conferencing centers are overwhelmed right now since everybody in the world is working remotely. So like I said, we're going to try to get those up for you. But just be patient if it takes a little bit of time. I would like to once again thank our speakers today, Jack Wolf, Peter Yurton, and Liz Crow. Thank you guys to all coming on and asking questions. And now back to our operator to wrap things up.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.